Well, in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, 2 weeks ago, I spoke from the word repent, because Jesus said repent. And repent meant to turn from and to turn to. There's no way around this, friends. If we're going to trust in Jesus Christ, we have to be willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to let you take over. And that's really what repent means. It means I'm not going to do things my way. I'm not going to stand on my own ground. I'm going to move to trust, put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm turning from and I'm turning to. Not that we have the power to. I'm too weak. I have no power. But God has all the power. All he looks for is the willing heart. And what does he do? He comes to us. And he brings us into something wonderful. And this is what I want to talk about today. It is the kingdom of God. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel, or the good news, of the kingdom of God. It's still hard to persuade people that the gospel is good news. Somehow, when they think gospel, they think, oh, well, you go to a stuffy church and sit there and can't wait till it's over, look at the watch until we got to get out of here, right? In many people's minds, that's what gospel brings to mind. But it isn't true. The gospel is good news. That's exactly what the word means. If you could translate it into our modern English, we could say, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what it would be. The good news of the kingdom of God. And here's the word that Jesus Christ said. He said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Really believe in the good news. So what he says in this passage is this. He says, the time is fulfilled. Now, what he was speaking about was, down through the ages, mankind had fallen. Right from the beginning, with Adam and Eve, they turned their backs on God. They made a mess of things. The human race continued to make a mess of things. Right up to the time of Noah, great judgment came on the world. And yet, okay, you think they'd learned their lesson. From now on, Noah and his family, we're going to do things God's way. But no, mankind continued to keep turning away from God, thinking that they could do something better, go in a better way. So eventually God says, okay, I need to straighten you guys out. The first thing I want to do is I want to give you some law so that you know what's right and what's wrong. So there's no question about it. And so he gave them the law, the Ten Commandments. He said, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. So he gave them all the commandments and he says, okay, if you keep these, you'll live. And all the people said, yep, we'll keep it, we'll keep it, we'll keep it. Did they? No. Have you kept the Ten Commandments? Don't say you have, because you'll be breaking one of them right there. Nobody's kept the law perfectly. And so all through our lives, history, generations after generation, people failed God. And because of that, God has to judge sin. Now, he doesn't want to judge our sins. He wants to forgive us for our sins. But in order to do that, he had to do something better than just giving us the rules and the laws. People think, well, I've got the golden rule. I've got the Bible. I've got the good book. If I follow the good book, I'll be all right. You don't follow a book, friends. A book won't get you into heaven. The book reveals Jesus Christ. It's Jesus that we need to follow. Why? Because the law couldn't save you or me, because we're all sinners. We fall short. So at just the right time in the history of the world, the time was fulfilled, Jesus said. Time has come. God sent forth his son, born of a woman. God sent his son, Jesus, from heaven to earth, born of the Virgin Mary. That's what God did. And Jesus Christ came into the world. No wonder the angels burst into song on that day when Christ was born. Because this was God's plan to save the world. This was God's plan to save us from ourselves, from going in the wrong direction, to turn us in the right way. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And Christ came. And this is why he could say this, the time is fulfilled. After all these centuries, after all this time, after all this sin that the world has produced, after all the failure of the human race, after all God giving the best that he could give in every other way, it wouldn't do. God, we need more than rules and laws and regulations and churches and ceremonies and everything else with it. We need something more than all of that. We need a Savior. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ, at the right time. And so when Jesus begins his public ministry, the first message that he declares is this. The time is fulfilled. It's come. Finally, time has come. excuse me, all through the whole Old Testament, God kept promising, I'm going to send a Savior, I'm going to send a Savior, I'm going to send a Savior. And now there's a Savior. He says, I'm here now. And this was incredible news. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now, when he says the kingdom of God is at hand, it means this. The kingdom of God is near. It's close. The kingdom of God has come. It's here. And that would have been a startling statement for them to say, the kingdom of God is near. Repent. So turn from your sins and put your faith in the gospel. Believe in the gospel. And so we have this turning from and this turning to. But I have to know what I'm turning from. I need to know what I'm turning to. And that is this wonderful gospel. This good news. But I want to talk about the kingdom today. I want to talk for a few moments of what is the kingdom of God? What is it that God is offering to you and to me? What is it that he wants us to understand? Luke 12:32 says this, "Do not fear, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So there is a kingdom. There's a kingdom, and if there's a kingdom, there must be a king, okay? Now, we don't live in too many countries now that have kings any longer. And kings are great if they're benevolent. But if they're not, if they're wicked, man, the citizens are in big trouble. They're in deep do if the king is bad. But if the king is good, things go very well. If the king cares about his subjects. Well, I want you to know that the king of this kingdom, the kingdom of God, is a good king. He's a benevolent king. He's a loving king. He's a king that has passion and desire for you. And he says this, Jesus said these words, "The Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He wants to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you all that the kingdom entails. And so here's what I want to talk about just for a few moments today, that there's been a kingdom established, that the kingdom has a king, that the kingdom is offered to anyone, and that we have to enter into it in order to experience it, and when we do, we get kingdom blessings. Does that make sense? Okay. So we start with the words of Jesus Christ. First, to understand that not everybody is automatically in the kingdom of God. Okay? Not everybody automatically there. Here's what it says. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. I no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has nothing in me." The ruler of this world at that time was the devil. Look what it says, 1 John 5:19. "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." There's a real devil. There's a real demonic kingdom that's at work. And people are in that kingdom, and they're experiencing the suffering of that kingdom. They're experiencing what sin produces in this world. Listen, take sin out, and what would the world be like? Take it out. No more greed, no hatred, no strife, no anger, no jealousy. Take it all out, and what would you have? You wouldn't have what we have today, would you? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't have countries screaming at one another, ready to blast each other with bombs. You wouldn't have that. You also wouldn't have the fighting and the misery that goes on right inside of homes because of sin. Because of sin. Because of selfishness and sin. Because the devil's at work in this world. Somebody says, well, just like we said before, well, I can't see God, so maybe he doesn't exist. No, the evidence of God is all around us. Well, let me ask you a question. Is the evidence of the devil all around you? I think so. Yeah, I don't think we have to argue too much about that. And so we know that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And then it says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel, the good news, is veiled or hidden, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds, the god of this world, that is the devil, has blinded, who do not believe, so lest the glorious light of the good news or the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The gospel is hidden. It's veiled. The devil blinds people's minds. He says, no, don't go there. Don't listen to that stuff. Don't follow the Bible. I can remember when I was at the point where I knew that I needed to be saved. I knew God showed it to me. And I remember struggling with it. And finally, I realized I need Jesus Christ in my life. And I went to work that day. And one of my coworkers, he was an older guy than I was. And, you know, he'd been around the block a lot of times. And I thought, well, I'll go seek his advice. Because I drew a picture of myself standing at the foot of the cross with a question mark over me. Will I trust in Jesus or will I not? Will I accept him as my Savior or not? So I went to him and I put the paper down in front of him and I said, Grant, this is me right here. And he looks at me and says, Pierre, whatever you do, don't get involved with that. Get rid of the Bible. Don't have anything to do with it. It'll ruin your life. Okay? Now here I am, a totally wasted drug addict, and he's telling me that the Bible's going to ruin my life, right? I'm just like, out of it. I knew I had about 6 months to live on the top end of it all, and that's his advice. Run as far as you can from this pier. You're good the way you are. I wasn't. And I said to him, Grant, I got no place else to turn, Grant. I'm at the end of it here. I know that this is true, and I know I need Jesus Christ in my life. But you see, the devil's going to pull the poke at you all the way along the journey, isn't he? He's going to try to turn you away from Jesus Christ. He'll try to turn you away from the truth. The truth that sets you free. What is the biggest thing the devil likes to do? What's his chief signal? What is it? He's a liar. He's a liar. He wants you to believe lies. He wants you to believe lies about who he is. He wants you to believe lies about who God is. He wants you to believe lies about who yourself, about yourself. He wants to tell you, well, you're okay. Just pat you on the back. Just as long as he can pat you on the back all the way to hell, he'll keep on doing it. That's what he wants to do. And so people walk around deceived by the devil, self-deceived into thinking, I'm not that bad or this or that. Never taking responsibility for their own sin, always blaming somebody else for the problem. And they end up in this mess. Listen, it's veiled, it's hidden, because the devil's at work. But the next verse, I haven't got time to bring it to you, but it says, God who causes the light to shine out of darkness will shine in your hearts. He can defeat the devil. Thank God there's someone bigger than us. So he's established a definite kingdom, but you have to get into it, because we have two kingdoms. That is Satan's domain and the Lord's. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me and in heaven and in earth. And on his robe and on his thigh, in Revelation 19:16, it says there's a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is a king and there is a kingdom. That's an established fact, friends. It's definite. It's a spiritual kingdom. It may not be physical, and we think, well, it's not that real, but I'll tell you that it is. Luke 17:20, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. In other words, okay, there's a kingdom over here, and if you go 1,500 kilometers that way, you cross a border, you're in another kingdom. So he said it doesn't come with observation. It's not a physical kingdom that Jesus was talking about. It's a spiritual kingdom. It doesn't come with observation. Nor will they say, see here or see there. Remember what I was talking about earlier? Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real, okay? There's a real kingdom, but it's not a physical kingdom with physical borders. That's what people are looking for. That's what the Jews were looking for. They thought, oh, God's going to come. He's going to set up a kingdom, and we're going to be the chief ones in it all, and we're going to rule over the world. He says, no, it's not that. See here, see there. It's not with the eye, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. It's a kingdom that comes into the heart. It's a kingdom that comes into our midst. It's a spiritual kingdom, but it's a real one. What did Jesus say to Pilate when he was facing the crucifixion? Here's what he said. As Pilate was judging him, supposedly, in John 18:36, Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. Okay? If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. See what he's saying? It's not a physical kingdom. They were trying to tell Pilate, you got to get rid of this guy. He says he's a king, and the only king we have is Caesar. So Pilate's asking him, what about this king business? He says, no, you don't understand, Pilate. It's not of this world. It's a spiritual reality. This kingdom is established by Jesus Christ, and it was established in this way. It says he was found in appearance as a man, Jesus. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So the kingdom was established by Jesus Christ, but it was established by him coming into the world and going to the cross. And as a result of that, God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name. That is, he's King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This King, Jesus, rules over all. Even the devil cannot overthrow this king. He is ruler of all. He is the one who has come, and he has won people to himself through the cross. That's how he did it, it says here. And it gives him the position so that he's going to judge the world. The reality is that this King Jesus, while we come into his kingdom and under his subjection, now he's a benevolent king. But when it comes to the end of the age and King Jesus is on his throne and the rest of the world stands before him, all the people of all the world stand before him, those who have not trusted in him will be lost. That's why we need him. Every knee is going to bow, friends. Even atheists are going to bow and say Jesus Christ is Lord at the end of the age. This is what it says in Philippians 2, 10 and 11. In 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us what this good news is, what this gospel is, what's so important about it. And this is this gospel of the kingdom. Moreover, brothers, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand. What's this good news? And by this gospel you're saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed emptily. It's possible for people to have an empty faith, a faith that's all words, but not a faith that's from the heart. The devil knows Jesus died on the cross and he's not going to heaven. So it's possible to have the words but no heart. And this is exactly what he says here, unless you believed emptily. For I delivered to you, first of all, which I received, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It is through the death, the burial, and the resurrection that the kingdom is established. And because of that, he is able to do something. Because Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead, it says he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. You don't have to worry if your Christ is your true king. If you're truly one of his subjects, he will save you completely. Now here's how he does it. He does it by forgiving you for your sins, but that's the beginning of the walk. Then he does it by transforming your conduct. If you say that my sins are forgiven, but your conduct doesn't change, something's wrong with the equation. Does that make sense? Because if your sins are forgiven, it means that God has come in his power inside of you and your life gets transformed. But if you continue on blatantly sinning, then something is wrong with your profession. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That is, he's praying for them and looking after them. So the kingdom is offered to the world, but not everybody receives it. Who receives it? Well, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, John 3:3, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's with spiritual eyes. He says, you got to be born again. Okay. Some people say, well, what in the world is that? Well, Jesus said, and then in John 3:5, I have to explain it a little bit because maybe some of you haven't heard this before, but Jesus said it's a spiritual birth. He explained it. He said, you have to be born of the Spirit. There's the flesh birth and there's the spiritual birth. Which one do you have? If you have the flesh birth alone, you can't get in the kingdom of God. If you have the spiritual birth, you can. And so Jesus said it, John 3:5. He said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel. I said to you, you must be born again. It isn't a religion, friends, being born again. It's a step of faith to say, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I put my faith in him. This is how it happens, because it's explained here in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, this is how to be born again, okay? That he gave his only begotten Son. Who's that? Jesus. That whoever puts your faith, believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the new birth. That's what it is to be born again. It's not some hocus-pocus thing. It's faith in Jesus Christ. It's putting my trust in him. And it causes me to be born into the kingdom of God, that spiritual kingdom. I can't enter it. I can't see it unless this has happened. That's what the Bible says. Now, some people may not even know the term born again, but that doesn't matter. I didn't know the term born again exactly when I was first saved, but I knew that I had put my faith in Christ. That's what matters. Does that make sense? Look what it says in John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Receiving Christ is a spiritual thing. They were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. It's a spiritual birth, born of God, so that now you know that you're in the kingdom of God. I'm in the kingdom of God right now, friends, because in 1978 I trusted Christ. You can be in the kingdom of God just by trusting in Jesus Christ. Immediately you're transferred into the kingdom of God. Even if you can't see it, it's real. Just like a lot of other things that you can't see, they're real. Acts 16:30. So he says, you come into the family of God. You become a child of God by faith, by trusting in him. And you're born into this kingdom. He brought them out and said, sirs, Acts 16:30, a guy asked this question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Put your faith in Christ. You will be saved. You will be in this kingdom. And there's a warning. If you don't come into Jesus Christ, it says, do see that you not refuse him who speaks. Don't refuse him. If they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. If you turn away from Christ, there's no place left to turn. There's no other foundation whose voice then shook the earth. This is reference to the Old Testament. At Mount Sinai, there were people who were struck dead, and the earth shook at that time. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he's promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only earth, but also heaven. I'm shaking the whole universe. At the end of the age, everything will be shaken. Every solid kingdom in this world will be shaken. Everything that you could cling to will be shaken. But now he says, now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken. Removed. Heaven and earth will pass away. This heavens, the starry heavens, the universe, the atmospheric heavens, and this earth will pass away. But he says this, as of things that are made, the things that are made are going to be crumbled and gone someday, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. The unshakable kingdom remains. The spiritual kingdom remains. Everything else can be removed. Listen, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, which what? Cannot be shaken. Can't be moved. Let us by have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. He says, listen, take heed to this. Make sure you're in this kingdom. Make sure you're in the unshakable kingdom, and that unshakable kingdom has salvation. It has a place of safety, and if you're not there, then boy, you need to make sure. You need to be certain. It's what it says. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Do not turn away from this one king and this kingdom. God is inviting us into a wonderful kingdom. It may be a spiritual kingdom, but it's a real kingdom, and it produces kingdom blessings. Here's some of the blessings. Here's what it says. This is what God has done. Let's give thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers. Now notice this. The qualifications to get into this kingdom are not qualifications that you do. I think I've mentioned this before. But if you were in a training for the Olympics, you'd have to qualify, right? You'd have to go through a lot of stress and vigor and get up every morning and do whatever it is. If it's swimming, then you'd have to do a lot of swimming. You have to earn that right to qualify to get into that position. Am I right? A lot of people think that they earn their way to heaven. Oh, I gotta qualify myself. I gotta qualify myself. But here's what it says here. He says, he has qualified us. It's Jesus that qualified us. He ran the race for us. He went to the cross for us. He died for our sins. He's the one that qualifies us. That's good news for me. Because I'll never make the Olympics, friends. I just know I wouldn't do it. Okay? Jean-Paul might, but not me. I never do it. But also, I can't be holy enough either. I'm not good enough. I can't be good enough to get into heaven. I'm not good enough, friends. I'm not. I know that. Oh, my goodness is Jesus. So he qualifies me in spite of myself as I trust in him. And then he changes me so that I become more like him. That's amazing. He qualifies us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us. Look, he has done it. Out of the power of darkness and conveyed us. That is, he's carried us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. It's a work of God. My place is to trust him for it. To open my heart and say, okay, Lord, I want to be in your kingdom, your spiritual kingdom. The only way I can get there is for you to take me in. And he says, I delight to do it. That's why I died on a cross for you. That's why I rose from the dead, so that you can be in my kingdom. Look what it says. Conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Oh, I love that expression. He's full of love. It's the Son of his love that he brings us into. The kingdom of the Son. in whom we have redemption, that is, price paid through his blood, that is, the forgiveness of our sins. Nobody wants to stand before God and have all their sins against them, do you? You don't have a hope if you stand before God with all your sins against you. That's why Jesus died, to take the sin away. If the sin's gone, then you have nothing to fear. Then you can lay your head in the pillow at night and say, ah, all's well. All is well. My trust is in the Lord. More blessings. He says, concerning all the earthly things that we chase after and we're all concerned about, he says, if you'll seek the kingdom of God, all the other things will be added. The Lord will take care of you. Put the Lord first. That's a blessing, isn't it? All the other things will be looked after. And here's one of the most incredible part of the kingdom of God. This is the one I like. Look what it is. The fruit of the Spirit. This is what the kingdom of God is supposed to be full of. And your heart becomes full of it as you allow the Spirit of God to rule. Love. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. There's no law against these things. Love. Fills your life with love. Fills your life with joy. Peace. Long-suffering, full of patience, all the kindness flowing out of you, goodness rolling from you, faithfulness, gentleness, full of gentleness, self-control, not flying off the handle. Something's changed when the kingdom of God comes. This is the blessings of the kingdom. And does the world need more of this stuff? Oh boy, does it ever. It needs people living in the kingdom, in this world, being representatives of the kingdom of God. When the Apostle Paul was sent out to preach, here's what Jesus said to him. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. And here's what for. I want their eyes to be opened, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Says, this is the gospel. This is what the gospel does. It transforms us. It puts us in a whole new place. It delivers us from the power of Satan to God. It makes us holy. That's what sanctified means. It changes our character and our conduct. And it gives us an inheritance. You know, you get a letter in the mail telling you just received an inheritance from a long lost uncle or aunt. And you got that, if it said that on the outside of the letter, would you throw the letter away? Huh? Do you think you might open it? What would your first thoughts want to be? Well, maybe they might be, oh, my poor aunt or uncle. Maybe. Maybe you didn't even know who they were. And you might say, oh, I'm awful sad they died. But what's the next question? What's my inheritance? Right? What did I get out of this? And this is what God says. There's an inheritance you've gotten in Christ. Do you want to know what the letter is to tell you what your inheritance is? It's the Bible. Open it up. And you'll be reading every day. I'm finding out more of what a wonderful inheritance I have in Jesus Christ. Yes. And I'll tell you what the richest blessing of the kingdom of God is. The richest inheritance is. It's Christ inside of you. The hope of glory. It's God himself. Take Christ out of heaven. There is no heaven. He's heaven. But here's what happens. When you accept him as your Savior, heaven comes to earth. Heaven comes into your little universe. Heaven comes inside of you. Heaven comes into your heart. That's the greatest blessing of the kingdom, is to be with Jesus Christ, to have him. He is the sum and substance of all the kingdom. He is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. He is all that is good. He is all that's beautiful. He's all that's powerful, all that's holy, all that's wonderful, and all that's permanent. It's Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's everything. What a kingdom we have. What a blessing we have. And then, of course, finally, we will enter, yes, there will be an actual place. We leave this world, there is an actual place. And I'm going to conclude with that blessing. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. He who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, that's A to Z, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts, and he who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Oh, friends, we're going to go through struggles in this world, but if you're in the kingdom here, you walk through this world, but you're in that kingdom, you're experiencing God, you're experiencing the forgiveness of sins, you're experiencing the blessing of God, you're experiencing the power of God and the presence of God all the way through until that time comes when you close your eyes and you're done with this world. And then God has even the fullness of that kingdom, because here we live in the presence of sin. Whether we commit it or not, we have to live with it. It's around us, right? There'll be no sin. None. It's done. We are living now. We can live in this kingdom and be free from the punishment for sin, because Christ died for our sins. We can experience deliverance over the power of sin, because Christ lives in us. And when we get to heaven, we'll be delivered from the presence of sin completely. God has done a good work. Jesus said, at the very beginning we saw this, he said this. All the way back to the start here. He said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's near. That's how near the kingdom of God is to everybody here. If you're in the kingdom already because you've trusted in Christ, wonderful. If you've never taken a step of faith to say, okay, Jesus, I'm trusting you now. I'm coming to you. I'm believing in you. Immediately, you'll be in the kingdom of God. That's how near it is. So near that if you cry out to him, he'll put you right in the kingdom. Isn't that good? That is rich, friends. Don't miss the kingdom of God and the blessings that come from it. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We bless your name for it. We pray, Lord, each person will enter into that kingdom for sure. In Jesus' name, amen.